I say, Peter, can you see them anywhere?
No, I just said we'd meet them in Trafalgar Square.
It's rather a strange place to arrange a business meeting.
Oh, wait a minute. Isn't that them standing over there?
Oh, yes, so it is. Hello there.
Ah, good morning.
Oh, hello. This is Maggie Harrison. Maggie, may I introduce Ziggy Coyne?
How do you do? My brother, Jaime.
Nice to meet you.
Sydney. How do you do?
Well, let's go somewhere and have a drink.
Good idea.
Hey, look out, boys. Don't step back too far.
That was an excerpt from Three Coins in the Fountain. Another in our series, a film worth remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for those with patience and understanding, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are the Paper Mills Doily Cart Opera Company, Leslie Teasdale, Miss Susie Switz.
I know her. She's got very good connections.
To continue, Russ Steinway. Jelly Roll Featherston Hoare. And, of course, Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Beyond Our Ken, the show that'll make winter seem more like summer. And you know what sort of a summer it was. Well, now, let me, as usual, tell you some of the things that have happened since we last met. On Monday, I had an interview with the Inspector of Taxes. Now, a lot of unkind things are said about the income tax man, but I think it's rather unfair. After all, he's a man to whom we all owe a great deal. On Tuesday, Gladys Matthews came to see me. Now, the name Gladys Matthews may not mean very much to you, but when I tell you that her father is Fred Matthews, well, it'll mean even less. Actually, Gladys is a sort of musical arranger, rather like our own Eddie Braden, only not so much hair. And she's best known for the arrangement she did for the Huddersfield Choral Society of Living Dolls. Anyhow, she was very interested in an introduction to Paul Fennelly, so I wrote one for her. It went like this. And I'm happy to say that Gladys and Paul got on extremely well. And the last I saw of them, they were making arrangements together. Now, on Friday, Friday. Well, the television had been repaired and was working again, so I decided to get some good books to read. And in the morning, I went down to my local lending library.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Horne. Haven't seen you for some time. I'm afraid Lolita's still out.
Oh, well, never mind. I suppose you haven't got...
No, that's out as well. Oh, I tell you what, though. I've got a book here that's pretty hot stuff.
Oh, what's it called?
Recipes for Indian Curry.
No, I don't think so. Now, oh, wait a minute. Now, this one looks interesting. Art Studies for the Advanced Student.
Mm, very disappointing photos, Mr. Hall.
Oh, why?
They're all of flowers.
Oh. Well, I think I'll... I think I'll just look round... Oh.
But just a minute, I've thought of something that might appeal to you. Now, where is it? Oh, yes, here we are. There.
Cool. Heavens, I didn't realize you had books like that in the library. It's disgraceful.
Well, now, what do you mean, Mr. Horne? This book's perfectly all right. It's only a little volume for lovers of the countryside called The Joys of Sussex.
Oh. Oh, dear, I'm sorry. You had your thumb over the suss.
Oh, silly me.
Anyway, it's not really my cup of tea.
Oh, well, how about a good mystery? I've got a really good mystery book here. It's full of red headings and keeps you guessing all the time.
Oh, what is it?
The Railway Timetable.
Now, I've read that. Now, I must say a thriller would suit me fine. Now, what's the most exciting thing that you've got in the library?
Our new assistant. You'll find her over there in the section on hobbies, games and pastimes.
Oh, thank you. Well, I might have known. It's Janet Waters. Well, Janet, and where are we going to find Paul Fennelly and the Variety Orchestra? They certainly can't be under music.
Well, can they hear? They've all come in for a free look at the racing results.
Oh, good, then. Sing, Janet.
When it's gone, you feel despair. Soon, though, in the moon, though, you'll find that a new love is there. Love is where you find it, faith to find it, to be waiting everywhere. It may hide from you for a while. It may come tonight in a smile.
Jolly nice, Janet.
Oh, I'm very glad you like that.
Shh, shh. Hey, Miss Walters, this is a library. Now, Mr. Horn. Got the very book for you, a real thriller. Here it is, The Blonde Corpse.
No, thanks for the... Not even the corpse, either. I'm sorry, but when it comes to thrillers, I prefer the good old-fashioned English country house-type thrillers. Very gentlemanly.
Who done it?
Well, not so much who done it as whom done it. Stories like, The Mystery of Maltravers Grange.
Oh, I don't know that one, Mr. Holmes.
Well, stand by and you shall.
The Mystery of Maltravers Grange.
The moment I arrived at Maltravers Grange after my uncle's sudden and unexpected death, I sensed a feeling of impending evil. Even Gregory, my late uncle's old butler, seemed in some way uneasy as he took my coat.
Thank you, sir.
Shocking thing, isn't it, Gregory?
Yes, sir, but then you always did have bad taste in clothes.
Not my coat, Gregory. I mean, Uncle Bertram's demise. Can you bear to tell me how it happened?
A pleasure, sir. Well, Sir Bertram, he put his head inside the service hatch to see whether the service lift was coming up from the kitchen.
And was it?
No, sir. It was coming down from the bedroom. They are reading the will in the library, sir. The other relatives are assembled. This way, sir.
Well, they were all there, seated in a semicircle around old Barrett, the family solicitor.
Good evening, Montague.
That was Great Aunt Millicent, 68 and looked every day of it.
Sit down, Montague. There's a good chap.
That was Cousin Hillary, who did something in the city. That's why he had to move to the country. Then there was Neville Watts-Watts. It was good seeing him again. I'd known Watts-Watt while I was still at school. And over there was another nephew, Hugh Messiter. He greeted me warmly. He was the black sheep of the family. Nodding to all of them, I tiptoed across to the nearest armchair and sat on an arm.
I see you're sitting on my arm.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I don't think we've met, have we?
I'm Faith.
Sorry, I don't know you from Adam.
Daddy was a second cousin.
Oh, I see.
Shh. They're going to read the will.
Pardon, ladies and gentlemen. Would the surviving kin be kind enough to observe respectful decorum while the family solicitor reveals who's cuffed the lolly?
Glass of sherry wine before you start, Mr. Barrett?
No, thank you. Yes.
I'm sure our dear Birchall would have wished it.
Little on the nutty side,
but a good chap for all that. Ready when you are, Barrett.
Well now, ladies and gentlemen, let me get rid of Sir Bertram's minor bequest first. Mr. Montague, there are a couple of pieces of petit pain he would like you to take care of.
Oh, certainly. Do you know where they are, Gregory?
I understand one of them lives in Maida Vale. Now, Sir Bertram's fortune, £80,000 in all, is to be divided among all the people in this room. To clarify, the £80,000 is to be divided among the eight of us here. The six relations, plus Gregory and myself. Of course, if any of us should die, his 10,000 would be divided among the surviving...
Oh, he slumped across the desk. Hugh, he's dead. What does this mean?
Roughly another 1,400 quid each. Glass of sherry, anybody?
Just a minute. Show me that sherry. Just as I thought, a tasteless, colorless, odorless poison for which science has no known anecdote.
I'll telephone for the police. Hello? Good heavens. Mr. Montague, the phone is dead.
Well, that's another 1,400. Oh, no. No, of course, the phone wasn't in on it, was it? No.
Can't we send somebody across the moors to fetch the local police?
In this weather, the bridge is down at Pramling Weir, the river's burst its banks, the temperature's 22 below, and the snow is 6 foot deep. Anyone who went out there would die within the hour.
Great Aunt Millicent, get your coat on, dear.
No, please.
2 down and 6 to go.
What a night it was. The murdered man in the library. All the phones down. The house cut off by blizzards. A killer roaming loose among us. And the only thing on television, the army game. Then, at breakfast, next day.
Good morning, Miss Faith. Would you like me to warm up your kidneys?
Feet and still climbing. I'm going to my room.
Oh, hello, everybody. What's the...
Oh, Montague, do you realize that the only beneficiaries left alive are we three and Hugh Messiter?
20,000 each, beginning to look quite healthy. Gregory, how could you?
What's that?
26,000 each.
You mean that explosion?
I'm afraid, sir.
But how?
I think I can guess. A booby trap. Somebody put a charge of dynamite under his bed. It's an old Jerry trick.
Well, we can't just sit here and do nothing. Gregory, go into the library and try and phone the police again. Tell them 5 people have been murdered here this week, and we're beginning to suspect foul play.
Very good, sir.
He's gone now. Listen, Faith. I've been doing some serious thinking. Do you realize this? The murderer must be either you, me, or Gregory.
Well, it's not me.
And it's not me either.
Then who is it?
And what? That's what I'm going to try and work out. Meantime, every moment is dangerous. Now, look. By sheer chance, I packed something at the bottom of my suitcase. Can you use a 38?
No, I'm a small 32.
It's not a dress, it's a gun. Now, here, take it. Slip it on the top of your stocking.
But what about you?
Well, I couldn't. I hardly know you. Besides, listen, outside the door. Gregory, were you listening to the keyhole?
What makes you think that I was listening at the keyhole?
You've got the key sticking out of your ear.
Yes, yes. Well, we're all a bit keyed up, sir. Mr. Montague, sir, why are you pointing that gun at me?
Because, Gregory, I've come to a conclusion. Now, the murders must have been done by one of 3 people. 1, Miss Faith. 2, me. 3, you. If Miss Faith and I didn't do it, that's 1 and 2 innocents. So who's guilty? And by putting 2 and 2 together, I got the answer. 3.
Me, a murderer? Oh, no, sir, you can't be serious. Why, I'm no more capable of murdering than you are of adding up. Oh, not only Sir Gregory, sir. I might have pinched the port and flogged the silver, but oh, bad I am not. Bad I am not. Oh, no, I am not bad. Not bad. I'm not bad. I'm not bad at all. In fact, with all this dramatic stuff, I'm pretty good.
Well, if you're not the murderer, Gregory, who is?
I think I know, miss. I've read these thrillers before. It's always the person you think couldn't have done it.
You mean Paul Fennelly?
No, sir. Mr. Barrett. The solicitor.
But he's poisoned.
You just thought he was. It was a trick.
But that odorless, colorless, tasteless fluid.
BBCT.
All right, Barrett. Come out from behind that curtain.
Oh, you were cleverer than I thought.
Oh.
Yes, I planned it all to get the money for myself. I tried to make it look as though I was killed. But I didn't do it well enough.
Allow me.
He's doing it all right now, isn't he?
Oh, Gregory, thank heavens. The danger's past. Now the 80,000 can be split 3 ways.
And to think I suspected you. Faithful old Gregory. Well, has the mystery of Mal Travers Grange been solved to your satisfaction?
Not quite, sir. There are a couple of things I'd like to get out of the way.
Go ahead.
Right. Where there's a will, there's a way.
And here are 4 willing people, all ready to follow the band. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hornets.
My old man said, follow the band, and don't dilly-dally on the way. Off went the band with my old man in it. Doo-doo-doo. I followed on with my old cock limit. I dillied and dallied and dallied and dillied. Lost my way and don't know where to roam. You can't trust a special like an old-time copper when you can't find your way home.
We had to move away, cause the rest we couldn't pay. The moving van came round just after dark. There was me and my old man, shoving things inside the van, till there wasn't any room for me to ride. Don't dilly-dally on the way. Off went the van with my old man in it. I followed on with my old cart linnet. I dillied and dallied, then I dallied, then I dillied again. I've lost my way and don't know where to roam. Oh, you can't trust a special like an old-time copper when you can't find your way all alone and nowhere to roam when you can't find your way.
So to the Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Horne-a-Rama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And this week, we present a close-up on the sea.
Well, now, first of all, let's talk to a real seafaring character who earns his living from the sea. Now, you, sir, you're a fisherman, I believe.
That is so, yes. Saltwater fish, that is.
Yes, of course. It's a pretty hard life, isn't it?
Oh, I say it is, yes. We have to set sail in all sorts of weather, you know. Casting our fishing nets right out at sea. Sometimes a stormy squall suddenly springs up and a small fishing boat is tossed about mercilessly on madness. Oh, it's treacherous.
It's what did you say?
It's what I said, treacherous. Of course, today it does have its compensations. Sailing on smooth waters with the salty tang of the sea in your nostrils can be most refreshing.
Yes, maybe for you, but I'm certainly never too happy at sea.
What's the matter? Don't you like the feel of the spray in your face?
Well, now that you mention it, no. However, we're now privileged to meet a remarkable character who is, in fact, one of our oldest lighthouse keepers. Good evening, sir.
Good evening to you, sir.
Now, sir. You live most of your life in a lighthouse.
Yes, that's right, sir. I furnished it all out very nice, and it's very comfortable.
I see. Yes. You've really made a home.
Oh, yes, I have. It cost me a fair bit in stair carpet. Yes. Oh, yes, all up and down. But it's all very nice.
I see.
I'm very happy.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, I'm sure you're happy there.
Oh, yes.
Yes. How long have you been a lighthouse keeper?
35 years.
How long, sir?
35 years.
And tell me, what made you become a lighthouse keeper?
Well, sir, you see, I was always frightened of the dark.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I don't quite understand.
Well, in this job, I can always go to bed with a light on.
Let us not overlook the more pleasurable aspects of the sea. Every year, millions seek fun not only by the sea, but on it. Paddle boats, rowing boats, pedal boats, and one of the latest innovations, water skiing. Now, what sort of a sport is water skiing? We sent our own commentator, Cecil Snaith, to the South Coast to find out.
Well, listeners, I'm quite looking forward to trying out this new aquatic sport. I've got my water skis on and my leopard skin swimming trunks, so I should be easily spotted. I'm taking up the strain on the towing rope now as the motorboat prepares to get underway. And here we go. What an exhilarating experience this is as the boat gathers speed. It's a glorious sensation, hurtling along, carving a path through the sea. Just ahead now, I can see Brighton Pier, and we're moving out so that we shall race past the end of it. We're coming up to the pier now, and the towing boat is getting even more speed. Whee! This is fun! And this is Cecil Smith from a fishing hook off the end of Brighton Pier, returning you to the studio.
Finally, let us consider that magical and mysterious world beneath the sea. Now, to most of us, it is the strange unknown where danger lurks behind every rock. But those who regularly venture into the depths always seem to describe it as a veritable underwater paradise. Such people, for instance, as those intrepid underwater explorers, Ambrose and Felicity Haas.
Good evening.
Well, now, I believe you've got some more interesting and exciting film for us of your last underwater adventure.
That is so, yes. Felicity, switch on the projector, then.
All right, Andrews, my darling.
Oh, look. There we are, going down again, fearlessly into the unknown, unaware of the terrors that might be encountered from the denizens of the deep.
Hey, look there, my darling. I didn't realize that horrible thing was floating along there behind me.
That's me, you fool.
Oh, my darling.
And there we see the pretty multicolored flapper fish.
Over there, the coral rock formation.
Yes. Delta. We're coming to an exciting moment. This is where I was attacked and savaged by a swordfish.
Darling, I don't remember this, my love.
I was turning there suddenly with... Really was you silly old faggot. Oh, look, you stuck your spear in me apparatus.
Very, very sorry, my dear, look, remember those Andrews, a pretty cluster of anemones with little silver fish darting in and out, and just a minute,
the film's finished. That was short.
Yes, Josie. Well, I'm afraid that's when we both had to surface most hurriedly.
Well, did something terrible happen?
There were strong objections to our being there.
Oh, I don't understand. Where were you?
In the aquarium at London Zoo.
There'll be another Hornorama next week, and the subject will be marathons. Do they achieve much in the long run? Also, next week's program, there'll be a speech given by the inventor of refrigerators on how I made a cool million. We shall be having an extract from Brigadier General Fitzwarren's book, 30 Years of Marriage and Other Great Battles. And we shall be hearing something about the experiences of a young girl with a local political group in a talk entitled, They Wanted Me to Be Liberal. So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought, which comes from a listener. Can a snub-nosed man see the point? Good night.
You have only been listening to All Have Just Missed Beyond